Great to have you along today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here talking about some films that have been shot here in Wisconsin. The short independent film, it's titled February, tells the story of Miguel, a newly arrived immigrant to a small town in Wisconsin where he learns how to ice fish. And we learn a lot as part of that film. Our guest is filmmaker Nathan Deming. Nathan, February is the second of 12 planned films he plans to shoot in or near his hometown of Toma. February won the top prize at the 2024 Wisconsin Film Festival and will be shown this weekend at the Beloit International Film Festival a couple of times. And as we talk with Nathan, I hope you'll join in the conversation. You like movies? What was the last movie you saw about people living in small town Wisconsin? Do you go to film festivals to see independent films? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. Nathan Deming, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
You were born and raised in Toma.
I was.
Now you live in Los Angeles. Why'd you want to return to Toma to make a series of films there?
Well, you know, you live in L.A. long enough and you're like, Toma, I want to live somewhere bigger, more exciting than L.A. No, I do. I really love Toma. So this whole idea started because I've been in L.A. for a while, and I'm making some other stuff there. But I always had tons of Wisconsin stories that I kept writing, and eventually kind of came up with this idea of doing it in the format of a whole year. There's a lot of other filmmakers who have done series like this that I really like the Decalogue by this Polish filmmaker named Kieslowski, which is one film for every one of the Ten Commandments. And I think it's such a fun way to frame things, and then you can kind of explore just more than your story, because my film has a story like you described. It's about a Mexican immigrant who's new to Wisconsin, struggling to fit in for a little bit. But because of the whole framework, it's really fun because then I can slow things down. I can show his sister in the background, the fact that she's juggling kids with colds, all those kind of typical February things. And we just took this movie around the state of Wisconsin last month. Went to over 30 cities, so February. It was so much fun, and it was kind of like Disneyland, like 4D sometimes, because it was like 6 inches of snow outside, and then we went in and watched the movie together, so it was really fun.
Oh, man. Well, I was telling a friend about the fact you were going to be on, and she said, well, is he shooting one a month? And I said, no, that doesn't work that way. We'll talk about that whole.
Yeah, so I want to do something unique and kind of fun, which is that basically for the next 10 or 15 years, as long as this takes me, like every other year, I'll make one of these. And then I'll do the same thing I just did with February, which is take it around the state in the month of the year. So I want this to be like the Spotted Cow beer of film series. It's like only available in Wisconsin. Or immediately across the border if your friends help you smuggle it, But I'm really excited about that because I think I don't know how you feel, but like we're in this like age of streaming where like a TV show or something I like will drop in a day and then you watch it all in a weekend and then you kind of forget about it. So I think it'll be really fun to do this series, especially as like I'll be changing and culture will be changing over the time and get to stack up all these individual portraits of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and January and February, I watched both of them. Actually, last night I sat down. I really liked both of them.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe talk about the stories, January and February.
Yeah, well, so they're each going to be individual stories, right? So they're very different. We talked about February a little bit, and then in contrast, January is about a 75-year-old church volunteer who, unlike kind of Miguel, who's very quiet, as you saw, Marty, that character, she doesn't really stop talking the entire movie. And she's upset about a shotgun wedding happening, and things play out from there. I think the fun thing for each month, besides zeroing in on people. Like, I love people. I just love spending time with people. I love in films and like, and in life too, but you know, in movies, it's just so much fun to spend time with people and like strip away the layers of them. And then you think you know somebody at the start, but by the end of it, you learn information that fills you in that something else is actually going on the entire time. And so far, I think both films do that.
Oh, do that very, very well. I like January a lot. You know, you have an impression of the person, and that impression changes at the end, and you realize that she's done something quite significant in the life of another person.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, it was kind of like another day.
Yeah, that's kind of how she treats it. Well, that one was also kind of, I grew up in the Methodist Church. It's kind of a love letter to these older women and volunteers who run those organizations. And oftentimes the pastors or staff will kind of look down on those women because they're there all the time, or, you know, they're like, of course we know they'll be there, you know, they'll be helping out. And to be fair, Marty has a very a difficult personality.
Yes.
But she's keeping this whole thing running, you know, and she has some good motivations underneath everything. So
And these movies, they're under an hour in length. You're reluctant to call them short films, though. I can kind of see why, but from your perspective.
They're mainly inspired. The Decalogues, they're all like 55 minutes around that length. I don't really care what we call them. It's just like a film festival thing, because some film festivals are like under 40 short, over 40 feature. It's really confusing. But they're not 10 minutes long, which is what a lot of short films are. So.
Yeah. And how difficult is it to get films of this length in theaters or on streaming?
Well, I think it's difficult in general to get stuff out there right now as an independent filmmaker. If people, I don't know how familiar you are with like what's going on in Los Angeles, but like the film industry is kind of in a huge upheaval at the moment. It's not just the recent fires. It's not just COVID. It's not just streaming. It's kind of a combination of all of like a lot of things for 5 years and a little bit longer. But at the same time, there's more filmmakers than ever making films, which is really exciting, but it's really hard to get your stuff out there basically. So that's why taking the film around last month was so fun and so meaningful for me, because I have a feature. It's called the Speaking in Tongues. I did the normal route with that where I sold it. It's on Amazon, it's on Tubi, Apple TV, stuff like that. But I don't get to watch it with people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I saw it at a couple festivals with people. And then this series, again, that's why I want it to be something kind of fun and hopefully people look forward to that. Like, they'll join me every other year and I'll get that amazing experience of watching it together, because it's so much fun. Like, you saw the film. There's a character in the film, I'll let you guess who, that throughout throughout the tour, every town in Wisconsin said, "We know that guy." That guy lives here, and that's the ice fisherman.
Well, and that guy does live here.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there was a great story behind that.
Yeah, so he is from here. This character is basically Miguel wants to learn how to ice fish, right? And he can't find anybody to take him ice fishing. And eventually his brother-in-law is like, "Well, I do have this kind of crazy coworker, but he's a little out there." So I wanted this guy to be very authentic Wisconsin, and like that everybody around here would go, "Oh yeah, I know him." And I couldn't find anybody to play this part. And so eventually I just threw up an ad on Craigslist, and this guy responded named Richie Gordon, and he'd never acted before. And actually the actual ad was, "I'm looking for a crazy ice fisherman," and it was his wife who wrote me back saying, "Oh, that's my husband. Here's a photo." And he did an amazing job.
He's really good.
Yeah.
He's and perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you'd have been able to find anybody from L.A.
No, yeah.
To do the job that he did.
Yeah, and he lives and breathes ice fishing. He took us out beforehand. You know, he wanted to go during, and then even like his chief complaints during filming was just about ice fishing accuracy, because we shot on Lake Altoona in a, outside of Eau Claire, and he was like, "Oh, there's no good fish here." It's like, it's a movie. There's a lot of ice fishermen on the lake. It's fine. But he wanted us to go to like his secret spots. And it's like, that's an hour away, you know.
Rick and Monona has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Rick.
Hi, I'm enjoying your show. And congratulations, Nathan, on your new film. I'm sort of associated with the film. Making. I'm film class. I used to do make films for a company. But one thing I wanted to ask about is the state of Wisconsin doesn't have a film office to help filmmakers like yourself make their films. I know Illinois has it. I know there's a lot of money in films to bring film companies in to shoot in your state. These film offices that can help with tax issues, they can help find locations for filmmakers. And they keep fighting or they keep discussing it at the Capitol, but nobody passes the legislation. Do you have a thought about that?
Yeah, go ahead, Nathan.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have a thought about that.
I have a thought about that. Yeah. Was it Rick? Was that his name?
Rick, yeah.
Rick, thanks for the call. You could not have set this up better for me because this is definitely something I want to talk about. I have really good news, Rick, which is that you're right, that what you're describing, Wisconsin's actually one of three states without a film office, and we're one of 13 without what are called tax incentives, which is the other main way that movies are drawn anywhere around the world, not just states. And they are now a part of Governor Evers' proposed budget. They just got added a few weeks ago. This is a big thing I was talking about on my tour. And I was surprised around the state, everybody was like into it when I mentioned it. They were like, oh, that'd be nice, you know. And I also brought up the stat of we have so many artists, musicians, filmmakers, writers here, but we're still 48th out of 50th for arts funding in general, you know. And I was talking to people who just turned out in a snowy February day to see an independent film. Like, there's hunger here for this stuff, right? And so the good news is that it's in the budget. It now just needs to get passed. And I'm working with this nonprofit out of Milwaukee called Action Wisconsin. And they're working hard. They're a coalition of not just filmmakers, but small business owners, restaurateurs. Like, it's more than just filmmakers that benefit. Like, you kind of brought up the economic benefit, but every time a film comes into town, we've seen this in many other states, there's a lot of economic benefits that can come from it. And this has been going on long enough now that we know how to set this bill up in the smart way. And this is written in a really smart way to benefit Wisconsin, and not just big Hollywood movies coming here, but also it's written to benefit people like me and hopefully Rick, if you get back into filmmaking, like, which a lot of bills don't do that. They don't focus on the little guy as well. So I'm trying to create Wisconsin Hollywood here or something. I hope more people film here. We have an amazing state, so many interesting people, interesting locations. And on top of that, locations that can be used for anything. You know, we got downtowns that look like anywhere in the world, you know. Then you go just 10 minutes outside of town and there's rural farmland, and we got some lakes that could double for oceans, you know, like we've got it all here.
Yeah. And there have been films that have been centered supposedly in Wisconsin, but had to be shot in another state because of the fact that there were no incentives.
Yeah, I love Bridesmaids, but that's a big offender of that. And there was a recent television show called Dahmer, which maybe it's good that wasn't shot here in Wisconsin because it's about the serial killer. But I did some location scouting for that out in LA. That was all shot in Altadena and Pasadena, you know. And once I knew that, I couldn't unsee it in the show, you know.
Nathan Deming, our guest today, we're talking with him. He's an award-winning filmmaker from Wisconsin, Wisconsin native, and is in the process of a series of 12 films about life in Toma, Wisconsin, his hometown. But some of the shots happen elsewhere as well. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments or maybe an experience to share relating to film. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. The movies January and February, shot here in Wisconsin, are out now, and the filmmaker for those movies, Nathan Deming, is our guest as we talk with him about filmmaking, about certainly about the two movies of the 12 that he's producing, that he plans to produce over the next many years, for each month of the year in Wisconsin. It is so cool. You can join in. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email to talk@wpr.org. And Nathan, I know there was a website you wanted to promote.
Oh, yeah. If for people who were just listening, was talking about Action Wisconsin and the effort to bring more filmmaking to the state through the establishment of a film office and film incentives. So they have a website with more information about what you can do to help out with that cause. Just go to actionwisconsin.org, and there's actually like a take action button. And I know that one goal they have is to get a lot of people to contact their legislators about it and say that we want that to happen.
Your own film won the Golden Badger Award and Audience Choice Award at the 2024 Wisconsin Film Festival. That's had to increase a little awareness of the film.
Yeah, that was so much fun. And we should mention the 2025 festival kicks off tomorrow right here in Madison. And I was so lucky, I think partially because I won it last year, I got to join two other really talented people to be on the jury for this year. Mm-hmm. And select three more films that got the new Golden Badger Awards. So we'll be giving those out tomorrow in a ceremony at the festival. And yeah, it's so much fun. We got to watch, I think, 80 or 90 movies, all produced in Wisconsin, like short films and documentaries. There was a lot of documentaries about really interesting issues. So if anybody's near or around Madison the next week, definitely check out the Wisconsin Film Festival. And if you're in Beloit, come check out February at the Beloit Film Festival, which is also ongoing. So it's a good time to be in Wisconsin if you like movies. There's two wonderful festivals going on.
Oh, yeah. And it's great that, I mean, does it help? I mean, does it help with your own funding and so forth? I mean, you're going to make a little money on the film, I think, if it wins an award. Do you?
They have a little stipend, I think, that they give out for the award that they actually just got upped this year a little bit more, because I think that's also really important. So I went to film school in London and got a different impression of how the film industry worked for young filmmakers, which is that in Europe, because they're combating the American film industry, which is like a 90% of the audience share of the globe, basically, countries all over there fund young filmmakers, or there's a film fund you can apply for and get money for. So it's really amazing for, and you just have to look at these different countries. They have amazing young talent coming out of it, because unfortunately film, unlike music and some other arts, it's just expensive, and it requires a lot of moving parts and stuff. So I'm really passionate about also that getting set up more here too, beyond the tax incentive, getting more things set up, because we have like hundreds of film school graduates who finish every year in Wisconsin, and then like me, they have to move elsewhere for work because there's just not enough work. And I would like to live and work here. I hope that other people, I mean, it just sucks that like there's people in Milwaukee taking an amazing producing course, and then they go to Chicago and make Chicago money with it. You know what I mean? Like, why not keep that here? Why not build that up here, you know?
Mike in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. So I've worked on a few small films, short films here, like 24-Hour Film Project and a few other national projects as well as Wisconsin projects. And my question is, in filming around Wisconsin, what kind of stuff do you have to go through to get rights to film on public land or on a public lake? And some of the behind the scenes stuff of getting everything ready to make these short films.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great question. That's going to be unique wherever you are, which is one reason a film office is really important, because they can tell you how to do that. But I'll tell you, one thing that's great about Wisconsin is that there's a lot of openness here. There's a lot of collaboration here. Like in February, we shot in the Toma Cash Store, this amazing department store on Main Street in Toma. We shot at the American outside of town. These owners were just incredibly nice and like inviting to let us film there. No permits necessary. In Los Angeles, it's a different story. to film anything in Los Angeles, you have to start with a permit application that starts at like $750. For anywhere, filming on the sidewalk, you know? And then you have to go get permission from the location. The location knows that they can charge $1,000 or something like that. So it's pretty different. Obviously, you'll still run into people here who you're like, can I film in your barn? And they're like, no, you know? But there's more barns. You can find a spot. And just in general, I've been struck by how open people are to filming here.
And how is Toma itself, the city of Toma, how have they accepted all this?
I hope well. We had such a fun screening on the tour. They were like our fifth or sixth stop, and I had this like RSVP system through my website. And unlike Eau Claire, where we started, where I think we had like 100 plus people, Toma, I had 4 RSVPs, so I was like, "Oh, this will be a bust." And we were showing at the Toma Public Library where I used to work, and then like 80 people showed up and crammed into the children's department of the library, and it was so much fun. There were people on beanbags, and we had like this really great discussion afterwards. And one thing that really struck me was somebody asked a question about how do people in California feel about us, like in the Midwest. I feel like they don't care about us. And we had a really good conversation about, yeah, there is this kind of weird blind spot the coasts have to the Midwest, and people in Toma feel it. And even on the rest of the tour, it was funny because like in some cities, Toma was a punchline. They would, you know, people would just be like, ah, Toma, yeah, that's where I go to the bathroom on my way to Minneapolis or something. But then in Viroqua, in Richland Center, in Alma, in places around Western Wisconsin, they got cheers when that was from Toma. It was just so cool to feel like there can be this homegrown effort. And I think as a community in general, whatever assumptions you have about Toma, there were so many art programs there growing up for me. Like I just grew up in a wonderful world of nurturing creative people that were just a part of the community and also had other jobs, did other things. But I think there's a lot going on there, and you shouldn't count Toma out. Whoever is counting it out.
Well, they had to. You told a good story about the cash store. The cash store.
Yeah.
That was a great story. And by the way, I think you mentioned that I read one story that you mentioned that, and a lot of the actors bought stuff there.
Oh yeah, that was a fun day of filming because they were very open to us coming in, and then there's usually a lot of balls you have to juggle when you know on a film shoot, and the balls in that department store were just that all the actors and crew were buying a lot of things like Carhartt and all these great things, and it was like, okay, let's focus for a bit. I know it's a great place, but you know.
So the films themselves, and really, I really hope a lot of people get to see. Yeah, your films, February, which is, you know, the current one, is just a wonderful film. And the reception for that has been, I think, really good, has it not?
Yeah, especially around Wisconsin. It was so much fun. And obviously the opinion I was kind of most excited for was Latinos who came out. So far, obviously everybody's an individual, but so far every town I went to where Latinos watched it, they came up to me afterwards and were so excited and said, that's my experience. It's really great to see a life that we kind of know on the screen. And I can't take full credit for that. That's also because the actors, all the Latino actors had like a really huge collaborative role in the film. My production designer, Maria Madrano, she also just brought such an authenticity to the movie. And it was cool to step back for a bit because, you know, I'm going to have to do that several times on the series if I want the series to be more than just about a white guy from Toma, you know, like I want to showcase the diversity here and I want to be a part of that. I also want to give other people a chance to kind of tell their story. So it was so much fun seeing other people have a separate conversation that the movie just kind of caused for them about the role of immigrants today. And a lot of people don't know, but like Latinos are the fastest growing demographic in Wisconsin, the largest minority group, and they make up 70% of the dairy workforce. So they are a huge engine and a part of our state, and they're still kind of treated as guests, I think, culturally.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can change that, and hopefully they can be, more part of the conversation.
Yeah, and it really made me think about this. It's going to be interesting 10 years from now to look at these films, I think, too. And you wonder how mindsets will have changed down the road.
Well, that was, yeah, there was some...
It's already happening, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And so David, who plays Miguel, which, I, by the way, shout out to him. This is also his first film. He studied acting, but he's a young actor, so, and I think he does a great job. He doesn't talk for the first 20 minutes of the movie, which is yeah. really difficult. But he came out with me for the first few weeks of the tour, and I was a little nervous for a couple towns we went to. You know, like, yeah. I didn't know if there would be any negativity, and it was just so much fun. People were like treating him like a movie star, wanted photos with him. And I did hear often like, oh, I never thought about it from the immigrant point of view before, you know. And I'm from a small town, so I'm sympathetic to people who just have less experience with diversity or whatever. But I think somebody pointed out to me, they're not always just like ignorant. I didn't even like that word, but like, it's not always just that. It's like, small towns just be clicky to anybody who comes there. But once you're in the club, you're in the club, you know? So,
how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
We're out of time. Nathan Demming, his films, January and February, and his latest is February. It's great to talk with him, and I hope you have a chance to see both of them. It's been a pleasure talking with Nathan for me, and thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.